So very good morning. Glad that you made it today. Tell your neighbor that glad I made it today. Yes. So from past few weeks, we have been doing a series, and we all are aware the series which we are doing on the topic decision making. Yes, correct. We are doing a series which talks about decision making and how do we make decisions. So first week we discussed on decision making. Which talked about decision making as a person, which is God's heart. What is God's heart in decision making? And as a person, last week we saw that how do we make decisions in our life? Everyone makes decisions in our life? Yes? When? Quite often, or like you make decision once in a year? Quite often. Very frequent. Okay. Even now you have made a decision to come here. That itself is a decision. Okay, and we saw what first week we saw God's heart, you know, what is God's heart in decision making. The second week we saw what is decision making, how as an individual we should make a decision. And today we are going to look at what is God's heart as a family, you know, when we make decisions. Okay, we are all part of our family. Okay, we are part of a church family, we are part of a family where we are born. So It's decision making. It's God's heart. What is God's heart in decision making as a family together? Okay, so as a family, we make a lot of decisions. Decisions about career, decision about moving from one place to another place, decision about a job, decision about studies, decision about, you know, where need to be gone, like where we need to go for a vacation and all that. You know, and there are many crucial decisions also we make, like, you know, the life partner whom, like, you know, we are going to live our life with, where to invest and all that stuff. Okay, so it is extremely important for us as a family that, like, you know, we make right decisions. Okay, we make right decisions as a family as well, as it's God's heart that we make right decisions as a family. And the concept of family is extremely important in the Bible. Which, you know, the institution of family talks about in Genesis 1:28. It says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish, the sea, and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So God's plan for creation, it is not just he created, but he said, be fruitful and multiply. And then God had a plan, like, you know, that they will take over this entire creation. And God gave a responsibility to them to kind of, like, you know, name the animals. So you see this responsibility as a family where God has given them to take care not only themselves, to reproduce, to multiply, but also take care of the things which is given to them. So the institution of family, you know, it's very important, and it is God who builds that family, and it's God who been there in the midst of families where we see families flourish. And we also see when Noah, you know, we see when Noah and the flood came, God did not only say that Noah, you only come, you know, you see his entire family was taken inside the boat. So God saved his entire family, which we see you know, when the flood came, Noah's family was saved. So the institution of family is very important in the sight of God. And when something which is very important in the sight of God, the enemy tries to constantly attack the institution of family and its values. And there are constant attack on the values and the belief, and the enemy knows very clearly that if it breaks the family, or like it just destroys the family, everything else is gone. So there is a constant attack. There is a constant pressure where the enemy tries to put with something God created to enjoy and to flourish. So we see it alarming. You know, now we see, you know, that families break down. We see children being disobedient, and there is a problem in husband and wife relationship. And we see decisions being taken about someone's career or a job or a life partner, you know, going in a different direction. So, you know, there is a constant attack the enemy brings when there's something called as family, which God has built it and you know, God's presence to be there in that family, but the enemy tries to attack constantly. And there are many issues which have been caused because of our poor decisions. Okay, so that's the reason today, this morning, we are going to look at, as a family, how do we make decisions? And what does the Bible talk about the decisions or the values which God expects from us in our families? Okay, so this is something, it's very common. This is the umbrella which we say, it's a biblical order. You know, so first comes Christ, then there is a husband who has a responsibility to protect the family, to lead the family, to provide the family. And then the wife, you know, she comforts, she teaches, she nurtures. And then we have the children, you know, they have to obey, they have to love their parents, they have to obey their parents. This is a biblical order of family. But there is a constant attack where kind of, you know, everyone can misuse this order, where we can, you know, where, you know, someone wants to, does not obey, the children does not want to obey their parents or does not want to listen to the parents. And, you know, the husband takes his authority, or, you know, that he's the master of the family and abuses the authority. And they don't back, they, you know, none of them, you know, go back to God, or they fear God, which is Christ, the head of the family. So Christ being the head of the family, it is husband's responsibility to honor God, husband and wife's responsibility to honor God and to lead and protect and provide for the family. You know, it is the husband's responsibility to protect the family, to lead the family, and to provide for the family. And he also has to go upwards and downwards, which is he has to first honor God in everything he does. If he wants to protect the family, he needs to know basically what God expects from him. He wants to lead the family, he has to know what God expects from him. If he wants to provide for family, he has to know what God expects from him. The same applies for wives, where they have to go towards upward and then only they can come downward, okay? That means like they need to be a constant communication between husband and wives in whatever they are doing. And also the wife has to go back to God in everything what she does. Whether, you know, whether she nurtures, comforts, teaches, works outside, but this is what need to be done. So, but the enemy is constantly attacking this order, okay? Where the wife thinks, I am over it. Husband thinks, I'm the boss. Children thinks that, you know, the world teaches me more than, you know, any one of us or any of you teach. And no one acknowledges God in this order. But everyone, if they go towards downwards to upwards in this hierarchy, you know, everyone would see a very fruitful family. A family which has been blessed by God. A family has been protected by God. There's a constant communication between, you know, all of them, the children, the wife, the husband, the peace, and each one is aware of their responsibility. Now, let us look at the, you know, the Garden of Eden, where we see this order, or like, you know, the biblical order. I'll read this for us. Genesis 3, verse 6 to 7 and verse 17. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And we know this story well. And then we read it in verse 17. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. So God is very unhappy about what, you know, as a family they did, and they disobeyed. And we see some of the things which, you know, was not followed, the biblical order, where God has already commanded them, okay, not to do certain things. They first of all broke the first, you know, the order, that is Christ, where they did not listen to God. The wife went ahead without the permission of husband, and, you know, she did what she wanted. Now, why I'm bringing this is, But it was the husband's responsibility which God has given to protect the family and to lead the family. That's the reason throughout the scripture you see where there are references all over, because of one man's sin, because God puts charge of Adam to lead his family, and God brings that, you know, that issue or what Adam did. You know, everywhere you see, because of Adam, because of one man's sin, or because of Adam we have fallen, because of his disobedience. But actually, when you look at it, the obedience, you know, Adam ate it, but it was given by Eve. But according to God, it was the husband's responsibility to bring that value in his family, and God puts that responsibility on husband, saying that you did not take care of it. So anyone who breaks this order, we are directly, indirectly responsible towards it, even though we don't own it. That's the reason we see throughout the scripture, you know, it talks about Adam's sin. It talks about Adam's sin, but it was initiated by Eve, but the responsibility was of Adam's, where he was the sole person to take care of the family, to lead the family, and to bring them in the values of family, rather than blaming the wife and saying that you did it. It was Adam who failed. That's the reason we see throughout the scripture, it talks about Adam. So anyone in this, as a family we are in, if we take Christ out, our families will become, you know, businessman, businesswoman, or our children will become great personalities, but everything will be without God. If we take the authority out of it, then we will do everything. You know, husband will say, I am the man, I take decisions, and abuse the authority. Wife may say that, no, you are not the one, I am also doing it. And there's a chaos in family. But God's intention, or the institution of family, is to prosper. It's not to harm. Not that they should be away. When Adam sinned, God told them, both of them, to go out. He did not say, Adam, you sinned, you go this side. Eve, you sinned, you go this side. But Adam's, God said, both of you, you go out. He did not divide them, even though they made mistakes. Even they did not acknowledge, they started blaming each other, but God said, you both have to move out. So the institution of family is very important in the sight of God. It can build the church. It can build the nation. It can build the society if our family is strong. If the family follows the values of God. You know, people say that you have to build your family. What does it mean? Build. There's a constant effort which we need to put to build our families, to bring the values of God in our families, to teach the values of God in our families. If that is not done, you know, there is someone who is just waiting to attack. And we need to acknowledge this order that it is God who is the head of my family. And many of us here, or like few of us here, may say that, okay, what if my wife is not a Christian? What if my husband is not a Christian? Or like, you know, doesn't know God? Or what if my children are not knowing God and they're doing this? I would say that, pray about it. Pray about it that they would know God. Teach them. Put your best efforts so that they would know God. And so that the hierarchy and the family which God wants to build becomes strong. You know, God wants to build a strong family, a loving family, family which pierces out. But there's a constant attack which we see where the enemy tries to bring. So we need to be very aware of this. I like to bring a few practical things. The way families take decision, okay? Or the way men take decisions. Okay, so men are very strong and they have a lot of authority. And that's the way God has made them. So they were very strong. They sense the authority which is given. And they have to lead the family. So they are always on the front foot. And that is how in families decisions have been taken. You know, husbands are very uniquely made. You know, very uniquely made. They have very strong personalities. They are full of authority. They have the command. They can drive. They can pray for their families, and things can just happen. They, you know, God has blessed them with this. And the way women takes decision, you know, they are full of emotions. The strength which God has given, and full of emotions and compassionate. I'll tell you, we'll give you a small kid to you as husbands, or like those who are not married yet, give. And if you, I, you know, if someone says, take care of this child for this entire day, you know, men will get exhausted. Or you would say, give me a break, even though it is your child. But the way women are made, and that is God made them special, you know, the strength and the emotions. And they always conclude things. You know, that's how God has made them. They connect all together. You know, men does not connect everything, but women connect together all the events, and they come to a conclusion. I'm saying all this is a good. And, you know, decisions have been made mostly on this. These are pure practical, the way God has made men and women. And then there is an institution which God has blessed them with. You know, they sense it. Men can't sense it, but women can sense it before it happens. You know, if it is, you're moving out of a house and you see dark clouds, the woman will say, I'll take an umbrella and go out. Men will say, arre nahi, barish nahi aayega yaar. Why are you simply, you know, taking the time out? They can sense certain things. The way God has made them, it's beautiful. And they've got the way God has made men, beautiful. Full of strength, full of energy, full of excitement, which brings life to the family. Full of emotions, full of, you know, bringing things together in place. And knowing the danger or the step forward, you know, God has blessed them with. And the woman, for the children, you know, children, those who are not married, okay, I'm not talking about small Sunday school children, teenagers, anyone who are not married, you know, the way God has, they always look for someone as they are growing, as their identity. If you look, you know, if you ask a child whom you want to become, they would say police and all that, but they always have someone in mind. That is their family. They want to become strong like their dada. They want to become, you know, caring like their mother. They look at, they don't convey, but there's always there. You see many things. They would be doing what you would be doing. And they would say, I am strong, dada. Look at it. Mama, I want to help on this. So they would indirectly looking at someone. And they also look at their friends outside, how they are, the way they are. It's all good, but what can go wrong in this if we don't exercise it correctly? You know, men can take decisions because they feel that they have the power and authority, and they can abuse their authority in their family. You know, this is made something for good, but it can be taken into another direction. And men can, you know, exercise in authority, in power, and in strength, and abuse the way or abuse the order which God has given us. Women, they may be so much overwhelmed with emotions, and they are known for taking instant decisions. And many times they do connect many things, but their conclusion may not be true. And their intuition or this sensing may be something which they may have experienced in the past. If anything without that which we saw, the biblical order in a family, you know, things can go wrong. That's the reason God has made us with all this, but we need God. We need support. And anything, any decisions made here, you know, it can either build our family or it can just, you know, take our family in a wrong direction. And children look at their families, and many of the children nowadays, they don't want to go to their home because our family's not been set the right example for our children. They don't want to enter the home. And it's a bad influence when they look at their family. They don't want to go. And when they look outside, there are friends who can influence them much more because they don't see what they want to see in their family. And the way things can go wrong. So the way things can go wrong, God has made it for the best, but things can go wrong if any of the things have been misused for our own benefit or without consulting God in any of our decisions. So, you know, we have to be very careful how, you know, we have to make decisions. So let's take a case study today and we would see basically how decisions have been made and how we should not make certain decisions in our family. It is God's heart for our families to be flourishing, multiply, expand, you know, be a blessing. It is God's heart. God's heart is not to destroy. God's heart is not for separation. God's heart is to flourish, make it a blessing to the nation. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 7, it's about this. I'll just read it for us. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were living in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offsprings I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So my question to all of us is, do you think he made a right decision? Do you think he made a right decision? Yes? Okay. What do you think he made a right decision? What decision he made right? Sorry? Getting out of the country. Okay. Getting out of the country, he made a decision right. Yes? Okay. He obeyed God's command. God said, "Go from the country." He went to the country. And he obeyed it and he also put it in action and he went. Okay? Yes? What else did he do right? Yes, he took the near and dear ones. He took his family as well. He did not say that Abraham alone will go. Sarah alone. He took his family. God's You know, the institution of family is so important in the sight of God. He took everyone along with it. Yes. Next. He left his possessions and whatever he can take, he took it. Okay? Right decision. Okay? Anything? From the story, what decisions, what do you think? What decisions he has made right? Building an altar, okay? So, not only moving out, but he knows it is God. Recognize God as the head of their family. And he builds an altar there. Okay. So, what decisions which he has taken? We said he heard God, he followed his actions. And he took everyone along with his decision. And he also acknowledged God. Can we look at our lives in our families today? Are we following these principles? Are we hearing God? Are we following what he has said in our families? Are we taking along everyone with our family? Or it is just me, my comfort, my decision, my emotions, my strength, my authority, my way of doing. Tell me anything, how this process can be made wrong or it may have gone into a chaos situation. The next question. How this decision may have gone wrong? God spoke to him, how it may have gone wrong? He might have disobeyed. He may have not heard God. He might have got deceived. Okay. His family may not have supported. Okay. Questioning God. I already settled. Yes? You know, there are many possibilities where our decisions can go wrong as well. If we don't hear God, or we heard only God, but we are not taking any action as a family. You know, he was 75 years at that time. And you know, ask us or who have 30, 40 to lift weight or walk a mile, they will tell us how painful it is. And it says in verse 6, Abraham traveled through the land as far as the sight. You know, he may have taken a donkey, he may have traveled all the possession, tiring. But if he may have said, no, I may not go. I'm already 75. He may have reasoned his decision and God, why? Why this for my family at this time? He may have said, no, okay, it is a far journey. You know, I will only go and you all be here. I would see that land first which God is going to give me. Then I will take my family together. Not taking your family as part of your decision, as part of your struggle, as part of your joy, as part of your journey. And not hearing from God at all. Practical thinking. You know, we have been already settled. Why God will ask us to move? And these decisions can go wrong. And this is a time of reflection for us. Are we so clear that we are hearing God? Are we taking along everyone in our family in this journey which God has called us for? Are we acknowledging that God is the source of their provision? That he will bless in this journey? He will provide for this journey? He will give strength for this journey? Or it is all practical decisions? So in our family, when we don't hear God and we don't acknowledge God and we don't allow God to work with us, then there are problems. Then there are emotions. There are authorities. Then there are decisions which have been made which is not pleasing to God. In Genesis 13, verse 8 to 17, I'll read it for us. So Abraham said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your handers and mine, for we are close relatives. It is not the whole land before you. Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of Jordan and set out towards the east, and the two men parted company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities and the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had parted with him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and to the south, to the east, to the west. All the land that you see I will give you and to your offering forever. I'll make your offerings like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offering could be counted. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving you." And in our families, there are many times we have to take decisions like this. And, we can either take decision as the way Lot took a decision, where there is a quarrel happened between Abraham and Lot, his nephew, and they say, "Let's part ways." And they say, Abraham says, "You go to the east, I'll go to the west." And he goes to the side of Jordan, the plain plain field. And he goes there, he looks, everything is green. And Abraham walks the other side. Now let me ask you this question, that do you think he made a right decision, Abraham? Yes? Yes, no? Yes, okay. So then what decision did he make right? He chose a narrow way, okay? He avoided quarrels, okay? He doesn't trust in what he sees in the present, okay? Okay, Lot walked by sight. First, we'll see what are the decisions which he made right. Okay, so this is right or this is wrong? Okay, first decision according to him is wrong. He took Lot with him. Okay. What are the decisions he made right in this situation? Yes, we have already answered this. Okay, so Lot tagged along, okay. But no one expected this to happen. Okay. So the right decisions, he gave Lot the opportunity to choose in midst of quarrel. In our families, in our quarrels, we say, "Listen first. Listen to me first. Let me put my point forward. Let me tell you. And then you present your point. But Lord gave the opportunity to him first. You say, there is a quarrel, it's okay. You say, you decide. You know, Abraham, we heard that completely relied on God. That it is not he became wealthy by himself. It is God's provision in his family which made him wealthy. How many of us sitting here believe that the job which God has given, it is only a source of provision which is from God to us? It is, if we know that our provision is only from God, we will not look the outward sideways. We know that his provision will come anyhow to us. So he did not look outward, but he looked upward. As families, there are a lot of issues because we look outward and what's around us. You know, what will happen to the future of mine? What will happen future of my children? What if I lose my job? Listen first to me. You know, we all exercise that. And that is not something which God expects us in a family where we make decisions. Now let's go to the other side. Tell me, in his decision, what may have gone wrong? He chose a right decision. Now he said, you choose first. Quarrel, okay, I will take this. Now tell me how, if what he may have done, the decision may have gone the other way. If we have seen the, he may have seen, he may have said, I will go there. You don't have any authority to come there. It was my decision to buy this house. It is my decision to give this quality education to my children, not yours. It is my decision. It is my hard work. It is my money. And we do talk a lot in our families. And if we may have looked the other way around, but if we may have looked upward, we may have known that it is he who has given me the grace today for everything what we have. Yeah. What are the other ways where the decision may have gone wrong? He may have said, I will go there. Okay. Equal partition, okay. Jordan, Adada. Okay. Let's divide. You do your things at your home, I will do my things at my home. No conflicts. You don't want to listen to my authority, or you don't want to acknowledge what I'm saying. You do your thing, I will do my thing. Equal rights. But when we look upward, we know where we have to go. It is the authority of God and someone who is there, which God has kept in our lives, where we need to exercise that. Anything else where this decision may have gone wrong? Because of quarrels, he may have gone back. I don't want to go to the land of Canaanite. Let me go back to my mother's home or father's home. Let me call them first. You know, any issues happens in family, the first thing goes to our father and mother or our relatives. They know first before you step out of your home. Let me go back. And I would say God's heart is not that. God's heart is to flourish. God's heart is to build God has us to love graciously, which God has instituted something precious called as family. Everyone in the world knows about the incident. What has happened in your home, other than yourself, whether you are weeping or you are fighting, but everyone else knows what happened in your day, in your house, in our house. You know, decisions can go wrong, and someone who is just waiting to destroy this institution. If we don't have, you know, the first week we heard about God's heart, about our decision making. If we don't know, if we are not setting that right, you know, it can go in any direction. Anyone? Last, how this decision may have gone wrong? Give him nothing and snatch everything. Okay? Let's not give him anything. Let's, my belongings, give me mine back. Let's read Genesis 16, 1-4. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband, to his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. So, what do you think? Did they make a right decision? Big blunder, okay? Okay, but God allowed him to marry, okay? Okay, so many times we take decisions and then we see later how that has cost us badly, okay? And the later verses when we read, it says, Abraham was full of pain and agony and he said, "Why I made this decision?" And there was a huge quarrel among both of them, Abraham and Sarai. Did they make right decision? No? So what made them to take this wrong decision? Now they're they. Not waiting patiently, okay? Do we wait patiently in our marriages that God will work, that God will restore, God will help, God will build, or it is just we trying our best? Anything else? He did not involve God before he decided, okay? He did not involve God before he decided, before he took this decision. He did not inquire to God or ask God, okay? Okay, she... Yes, and we looked at, you know, why this always finger is pointed to men, right? Because God has given them the authority. So, which we looked at the beginning, you know, even in Adam and Eve sin, why it is always pointed to man is because you are responsible to lead the family. You are responsible to protect. You are responsible to take care of. So it has always been there. It is the man's responsibility to lead his family. And that's, you know, very biblical order. What made them do this decision? They did not inquire God. They just chose God. God allowed, he said, but like later you see that he regrets. Okay. Okay, so there is miscommunication in family. We are saying that there is no communication which has happened in the family, which, she is going, but she doesn't know Abraham has, why she is moving with Abraham, because the husband says, come along with me. That's it. That's what. Bola na ek bar, follow karne ka, to follow karne ka. Okay? Some disbelief on? Okay, belief, disbelief that God will definitely, if it will happen or not. Involving? Acha, involving a third person in the marriage. Hagar. Okay. Wrong decision. You see something here very common. She says, verse 2, end part. Perhaps I can build a family through her. I can build a family through her. What does that show? Everything. I can build my family. My needs, my desires, my way of thinking, my belief. You have to follow it. I want to build my family. In marriages, in families, it's very common, right? I am saying, I will lead, I will build. But God's institution of marriage is very different, the way God looks at it. She looked at her needs. I am not getting a child. I am not happy. You are happy. I am not happy. And I need it. My needs. And when this my needs comes in marriage and in family, it just destroys this family. Anything else? Exactly. Yes. Insecurity, not waited. Insecurity, they don't know. Whether they will have a child or not, no belief. Yes? No one putting a blame on Abraham. Huh? He agreed, it says. He agreed. So, why do you think that Abraham not to be blamed in this situation? Yeah. Verse 2 in the end, right? Like we see. He agreed. Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Abraham agreed to. He did inquire God. He also did not believe the promise, but he did believe, right? He walked. Yes. So in our families, in our homes, many times God has promised so many things in our lives. But when there are challenges, when there is barrenness, we agree to things which is not from God. ठीक है चाहिए उसको ले ले ठीक है मेरे को चाहिए ले ले ये agree which is a tremendous mistake which Abraham does. Abraham may have stopped it and saying, no, how can I do this? But we agree to the things in the family where we say, chalne do, jo hoga dekha jayega baad mein. And we also give our hand in that. So, Sarah looked at her own needs. Abraham agreed, you know, how wrong decisions to something which he knew is not supposed to do. Not consulted to God, not waited, fear. What will happen to my money and, you know, all this fear. And she started blaming. And the Bible says they both agreed towards it. Both agreed. So, here no one can go here and saying that she gave and I took. No, Abraham agreed towards it. Now, let's take the other way around here. How this decision can be made right? Or how Abraham and Sarah may have made this decision, a right decision at this situation? What communicating and what God has promised for their family, for their lives? Okay? Are we communicating with each other what God is speaking to us? Children to the, you know, mother and father, father and mother to the children, husband to wives and wives to husband. Communication, if there was a proper communication, maybe Sarah may have thought like, let's wait. Or God has promised. Anything else? By not giving place to the flesh, their desires, their need at that moment. You saw this instant decisions, full of emotions, instant decisions. Authority has been gone and, you know, there is a huge problem which comes and even now it exists because of Abraham's decision. Blaming the situation to God. Yes. She blamed God. The Lord has kept me not having children. So what God is speaking to us this morning? See, it is God's heart and, you know, we can either make good decision or either we can just make decisions which are not from God and we can be in a place, a situation like this. You know, we may have waited on God, trusting on God, in His promises and not agreeing to things which we know that it is not right and consulting God before we take any decisions in our lives. In Genesis 2, 1 to 8, sometime later God tested Abraham. He said, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there. And there was a burnt offering on a mountain, I will show you. Early in the next morning, God up, loaded his donkey. He took with his two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I go and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offerings and placed it on its son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. So what do you think here? He made the decision which is right. He obeyed God's command. God said, go and sacrifice and we sacrifice. Okay? Obedience in marriage, in our family, where what God is communicating to you, even now what God is speaking to us, if we obey it, you know, there would be a strong relationship which will be built, you know, as part of our family, where God also works in our midst, in our families. Anything else? Trusted God will provide, okay? Trusted God will provide. And he trusted that God will provide for his family, okay? Yeah, the decisions, he felt that it is a very radical decision, but still he chose to follow it, okay? And one important thing which we want to bring is, here is, learning from your past mistakes. You see Abraham's response now. What is he saying? The Lord will provide. And we just saw a few chapters back, what did he say? What did he say to Sarah? He agreed towards it. And you see the change of response now. Are you getting it? The change of response. Where he said, when Sarah said, I don't have a child. Where is my descendant? How would be my family? He said, okay, yaar, I will take Hagar. But now again, descendant gone. But you see Abraham's response. Learning from our past experiences. So how many of us are learning from our past experiences in our relationship with each other in our family? Or are we repeating the same thing again and again, again and again? You know, you see his response has completely changed over non-belief or disbelief to a place where he's saying, I'm ready to sacrifice my son. You know, learning from our mistakes and taking corrective steps are very important in our relationship, that is family. Everyone will make mistake. But how are we taking corrective steps? That matters the most in the sight of God. It doesn't matter how badly we fall down or how badly we are hurt in our relationship, in our family. But what matters is how we rise up from there. That is what God's heart is. You know, learn from our experiences which God has given us. And he says, God himself will provide. He was so confident in God. And we can make, you know, better decisions. We can make better decisions for our families. And it starts with our relationship with God. The only way we can make decisions or proper decisions in our family is the way, you know, we start with our relationship with God. If our relationship with our God is not right, whatever you are bringing it down, it's not going to make any sense to us. It will not add any value to us. If our relationship towards upwards is not right, nothing will come down. It will be water which will be flowing, but people will remain thirsty. The more we know God, the more we understand how he thinks. You know, that should be our journey going forth, or to begin with. The more we know God, the more we would understand that what he thinks. Crisis, the more you know God, or the more we know God, we would know what need to be done at that point. If we want to make better decisions in our families, in our relationship with God, need to be set right. You know, this is what we began with in the first week. And I want to bring that back again to us. God's heart in our families, that ask and pray for wisdom that God will give us to take care of this institution which God has blessed us with, that is family. You give a chance, the enemy is there inside to destroy. Seek counsel. You know, seek counsel from whom which God has placed in our lives. You know, it's a repetitive. Don't isolate yourself in families. You know, when there are issues happen, you know, someone has to say yes, even though you are right at that point. You know, someone told me, it's okay to lose to make someone win. It's okay to lose to make someone win. It's okay to lose. Bend down and say, Lord, give me the grace. Even though I don't want to see my family being taken in this direction, I will not allow anyone to destroy my family. You know, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord that our family is being united not because the love which has been showered by us inside the family, but it is all God who is building our family. It's God who is building the relationship between my father and mother. It's God who is building my relationship between each other. Always bring God in midst of us. And control our emotions. Don't take emotional decisions in family, and which we know, foresee that it can harm us very badly. Rely on God's promises and willing to admit, you know, mistakes. Past experiences, you know, should not be repeated, but take it forward in grace and in love. So we need to move upward, and then automatically it flows downward. If the husband moves upward and says, God, and I maintains a good relationship and communication with God, automatically everything will flow from there. The wife will be blessed. The children will be blessed. If the wife goes upward, allowing husband to be loved, you know, she loves him, and then goes back to God because it's God who brings that love, automatically it will flow to our children. When our children looks at the husband and wife as a family, they would love to enter the house. They will love to talk to you. They will love to share with you, because they would see God in that relationship. So it always moves upward and then comes downward. If I exercise my authority downward, that means something wrong in it. But it should always go upward with that grace, love. It should pour out from there. You know, Christ sacrificed that love for us, which is known as agape love, unconditional love. The secret of marriage is 100% giving, 0% accepting. 100% giving, 0% accepting. Christ emptied himself. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What does it say? What does it mean? 0%, but 100% giving. So in marriage, in family, with our children, with our, you know, husband, wife, 100% giving, 0% accepting. Any ratio which brings there, we bring there that I'm doing 90%, you do 10% for me. I will take care of the entire household, I'll take care of our children, you have to take care of the house, 10%, gone. It's like, what can I do so that I can serve God and serve my family? That should be the attitude of the Christian family, which sets an example outwards. Which anyone who enters our home,
They see it.
100% giving, 0% accepting. Means I will make food, you wash vessels. No. 100% giving. When that love flows, that's how Christ showcased that love on the cross. Agape, overflowing, unconditional, no percentage, free. And said, God so loved. And it should flow in love in our families. So let's work. It's God who works in us. As I said, when we look upward, automatically it will fall down and our families been blessed. There are families have transformed cities. Families have transformed nations. Families have transformed neighborhood. The power of family is massive. But the enemy also knows what broken families means. You know, and that's where our decisions, our choices comes into picture. Bend yourself. It's okay. Let someone lose and let other person win. That should be our attitude. Overflowing. Unconditional. You know, usne main kyun baat karu pehla? Why I should go and tell sorry? Why I should take the first step? Why not there? Break yourself down. That's where God said, go and multiply. Flourish. That's the power of family. That's the power of family. And the church family always stands to help and support. That's the power of God's family, the church, which is there for all of us. Many people come and, you know, when we talk to them, they say, we have not got this church before. Otherwise, we may have not had these issues. We have not seen anyone or we have not seen any example. We come from a broken family and they expect that brokenness in their home. But the church stands out. The family of Christ stands out as an example. 0% receiving, 100% giving. Let someone win that day. Let our egos not clash. There is no harm in letting someone win where you lose. But you know it's a win for God. With that note, can we all rise up?